you can see, I suppose, the next generation, your father's generation, did he continue with the same tradition, or did he...
Yeah, he went into the factory in the 30s after he qualified from... after he got his degree from Oxford in classics. Mm-hmm. He was quite attached to his grandfather, George N. Jacob, because he lived a lot of the time at St. Michael's.
Yes.
Because his mother, during the First World War, came back to Ireland and lived there for a while in St. Michael's, which is now at the school at Aylesbury Road, which was George N. Jacob's house.
Were you brought up there?
No, I remember going there at Christmas to give the gardener his bottle of whiskey before they sold it. That was the early 40s.
I see. Where were you brought up?
Black Rock.
And, yes.
And then when my father went to the Admiralty during the war, working on convoy defence, my mother moved back to her father's house in St. James's Terrace.
Yes.
Clonskee.
Yes. And so your father's time in the Second World War...
he was a backroom boy in the Admiralty in London.
And when he signed up, was it voluntary? Was it something?
Yes, I think so, yes. His father was a supply officer who got knighted for supplying things to the Navy during the First World War and after that. Mm. Was slightly responsible. Sir Walter St. David Jenkins, and he was responsible, I think, for changing the Navy from coal to oil.
Really?
I think so. I can't prove it, but I've heard it say.
Fascinating. And your father then, was he actually on a ship, or was he...
No, he was in the Admiralty.
Yes.
In London.
So he spent the war years...
As a backroom boy, as he called himself.
Yes. Organising.
He took the Official Secrets Act so seriously, I don't know what he did.
He never told you?
No. Nope. Something to do with convoy defence. And he used to go up to the Clyde to test things out. It was to do to defend the convoys on the North Atlantic.
Yes. So in many ways, he was working in a very secret...
Yeah, I think so.
Did it affect him, the war years? Did he?
I think it did. I know he lost some friends on the Japanese front from Oxford, and I don't think... I think he wanted to join the Navy, but he didn't get in. I don't know why he didn't get in. So he went over to work in the Admiralty. I don't know what that was about.
Really?
Yeah.
And then... after the war years, straight back into the
business?
Straight
back, try and rebuild it, yes. Because of rationing and some short supplies. You see, to make cream crackers, you need strong wheat. And strong wheat is not grown in Ireland.
Yeah.
It's a Manitoba wheat, which is the best wheat you can get is from Canada, really.
Mm-hmm.
Because you need a strong gluten content.
And the supplies coming from Canada?
They were very scarce during the war. I don't know what they did. I can't remember. Johnny'd tell you more about that than I would, I think.
Yeah.
Probably did.
Was it sometime in the late 50s then that you joined?
I joined in 1963, when I qualified from Trinity. I was 23 years old.
And having your father the head of the company, did you feel any special, or did you get any special treatment?
I hope not. I didn't want any special treatment. But I worked from the floor up, did all the jobs.
Yeah.
Floor loft the lot. I got on well. Always got on well with the workers anyway.
Yeah. That was never
a problem to me.
But did they see you as the boss's son?
Some of them did, yeah, I think so.
Yeah.
But I tried to put that behind me.
Do you feel, from what you've told me so far, it would suggest that you didn't have the qualifications, that you felt that you would have been better off to have got training and then come
to me. Yes, absolutely. I also wanted to sell. And I think there was an element in the thing that intrigued to have a member of the family on the road as a rep.
That would be beneath
that
you.
Case, well, it wouldn't be beneath me, but their perception was it would be beneath a member of the family to do that. Certainly wouldn't be beneath me.
Yes. So you must now tell me about your mother. I mean, who was your mother?
Her father was master of the Rotunda Hospital. He was Gibbon Fitzgibbon, a gynecologist from a legal stroke medical family. Fitzgibbon, there was a Judge Fitzgibbon on the other side of his family.
Yeah.
Whose statue's in St. Patrick's Cathedral. So there, she was a Fitzgibbon. Need I say more?
Was she a woman who got involved in the business in any way?
Not really, no. No, she was more of the mother type. Homemaker, I suppose.
Was there many of you?
Four of us, 5 years apart.
And any of your siblings joined the firm?
No. No.
Were you the eldest?
Yep.
So was it that traditional thing then that you had to join because you were the eldest?
Well, it was something I said to my father when there was an issue, which I don't want to go into.
Okay.
But I would honour my word.
I see.
Because I had plans to go somewhere else.
So from day one, were you comfortable in your going in there?
Not really, no.
Yeah.
I mean, the first day they all... I was sort of introduced, and there was some party or other, a duel, Christmas time, I think it was. And I was introduced as, you know, and everybody clapped. And I was so embarrassed, it wasn't true. It was quite unnecessary, in my view, anyway.
Mm. But they would have seen you, as I said, you know, that you were the young, the new boss's son coming in, that you would eventually take over the business.
Half boss's son, because it was a joint managing directorship in those days. I think probably Jonathan told you that. My father and his father, Edward Bewley, were joint managing directors.
Yes, but you would have been the next in line.
Well, yes. In terms of family, yes.
So take me through those stages. You started on the floor. What were you doing when you started first?
We're doing learning how to work everything.
Just going from one area another?
Cutting, mixing, ovens, packing, the lot. Chocolate making, everything. 2 years it was, and I did then 6 months in Liverpool, or 4 months or something in Liverpool, see how they did it, the Liverpool factory.
Yeah.
So it was just hands-on training, really. They'd show you how to do it.
And you brought back the ideas.
Yeah, that's right. They also, I think later on they sent me on a few cost accountancy courses and IMI courses and things.
Yeah.
I did a work study course, I think, as well, in Rathmines. They were all into work study in those days. It was the in thing, I think, to tighten up management and tighten up efficiency.
And the 60s... Was there a good buzz around? Was there a lot of business?
I think so. Yeah, it was doing all right.
Yeah.
Can't really remember.
But did you get involved in any of the outings or the sports meetings?
The old golf outing, not much, though. I wasn't much of a golfer. I was more sailing, you see. And not really. I didn't socialise that much.
Yeah. And was there still the same old mannerisms? Did people greet you as Mr. Jenkins rather than Dennis or Michael?
I think it was Michael. I can't remember.
Yeah.
I think I told them not to call me Mr. Jenkins, probably. When I was working with them on the floor, I mean, that wouldn't have been, I wouldn't go along with that. Call me Michael, or don't call me anything at all.